starts lulling you to sleep, just wave at me. Say, "Hey, I'm about to nod. I'm about to nod. I'm about to go out of here." Just let me know, and we'll send somebody over there to kind of tap you, wake you up a little bit. Praise God. All right. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. Let's begin reading there. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. Isaiah 55 and verse number 8. And I want to preface this lesson this morning by reading this one verse. And we may revisit it again later in the lesson. All right, here. Isaiah 55 and verse number 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Say that. His thoughts, I want you to say that with me. Say, "His thoughts are not my thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And I get the feeling, I get the impression that a lot of times we do think or feel that what we're thinking and the way we're acting and living and responding is from God or is godly. And we have a very difficult time differentiating between our thoughts and His thoughts, our ways and His ways. And so I want to talk about not particularly the thoughts of God, but more of the ways of God, because the ways of God are a reflection of the thoughts of God. And I think we can all agree that behavior is a result of what is going on inside of you. In your thinking. Thinking determines feelings, emotions, and those things lead to our behavior, our actions, and attitude, and so forth. So we want to find out, we want to discover, we want to search out the ways of God. The ways of God. And this is something that I've taught on for a number of years, learning the ways of God. But I want to apply the ways of God to relationships. Everybody say relationships. Amen. So this lesson here today, I don't know if it's part two or part 200, but something that I believe the Lord has impressed upon me for the last few days. Sometimes I'm guilty of trying to figure out what God wants, but it's easier to stop trying to figure it out and just yield yourself to the one who has all things figured out and just let Him talk, let Him impress, let Him prompt, let Him share, let Him lead and guide you so that we come into all truth and we're able to walk in that truth. God's not satisfied with His people just coming into a knowledge of truth. He is wanting us to be able to walk in that knowledge of truth. Does that make sense? To be able to walk in that knowledge of truth. I mean, what good is truth if you don't live by it? Are you hearing me? So we want to look at the ways of God in our relationships. And let's discover God's goals, God's desires, God's intentions, God's objectives in our relationships. And so I'm going to do my best to try to communicate some things that that I've learned that will help us to develop healthy relationships and maintain healthy relationships, particularly among ourselves as the body of Christ. And I was thinking recently about imbalances. You know, you have all of these people with chemical imbalances and hormonal imbalances. How many's ever heard of those terms? Chemical imbalances, hormonal imbalances. And those of you that raised your hand, just through either experience or through observation or through learning, through being educated, I think that, you know, you will conclude that hormonal imbalances and chemical imbalances can really mess you up. And as a byproduct of that, those people who have these imbalances do not usually have healthy relationships. There's also imbalances in their relationships with others. Now, those of you that have went to school, and whether it's medical or, you know, counseling, you can vouch for this. But we need to know how to develop healthy relationships and maintain healthy relationships. And it is important to God. May not be as important to us, but it is vital. It is imperative. It is important to God that we as the body of Christ have right relationships, have healthy relationships as the body of Christ. And therefore, we have to recognize imbalances in our relationships. Imbalances that are caused by wounds and hurts, infections, deficiencies, and I'm just using these terms you may can relate with, offenses, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, maltreatment, insecurities. We have to recognize that these things bring about imbalances, and God is not happy with imbalance. God wants all things in the body of Christ, especially, to be in balance, to have proper balance. And as you've probably already figured out, I'm characterizing these improper or unhealthy relationships as imbalances. So I'm just going to use that term that we can, you know, relate, we can understand. But let me get something straight here. Because I think that if you've studied it and you understand this, that the chemicals are regulated by the brain. Everybody say it's regulated by the brain. Okay? It's regulated by what's in the head, the brain. And so we can say, well, there's brain damage. There could be. But in the church, there is not brain damage. Because Jesus Christ and Him alone is the head. And there's nothing wrong with the head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You and I will never be the head of the church. We're not called to be the head of the church. We're called to be the body of Christ. Does that make sense? So our head, spiritual head, is not sick. Jesus is not sick. There is no deficiencies with our head. Would you agree? All right. He is strong. He is healthy. His word is truth. His word is right. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with his methods, his ways of communicating to the rest of his body. Nothing wrong with God's ability, God's method, and God's ways of communicating to the rest of the body. However, if there is a problem, it's not with our head, Jesus Christ. It's with the particular members. Everybody say the particular members. For example, there's organ problems. Problems with some of the organs. And it may be because of an accident, an injury, you know, that has wounded you. And how many knows that a lot of people in this day and time have kidney failure? Liver failure. And this affects the whole system. It affects the whole body. And but, you know, in the body of Christ, we have to, before we go any further, we must accept the reality, the truth, that there's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. There's nothing deficient about him. He is strong. He is right. He is true. He is powerful. He is well able to run his church, to take care of things in the body of Christ. Say amen. Praise God. If there is problems, it's within the particular members of the body. So just wanted to make sure we were all in agreement, at least on that. So we want to learn how to take care of imbalances in the body, don't we? Now, if you have a chemical imbalance or hormonal imbalance, what do? You go get help. Because these imbalances, they hurt your relationships. They hinder healthy relationships. For example, if your spouse has a hormonal or chemical imbalance, it's gonna hinder that relationship. It's gonna affect that relationship. So what do? They go and get some help. You know, whether it's medication or prayer, therapy, whatever, because the problem is affecting the relationship. So we want to take care of the problem so that we can have healthy relationships. And so it is among the body of Christ. Sometimes we're trying to deal with the effect and we're overlooking the cause. Does that make sense? There's a root cause. There's a cause and there's an effect. And so we want to find out what is the problem. Not what is the result of the problem, but what is the real problem. For example, we've talked a lot about depression, whether it's reactive depression, clinical depression, the different types of depressions, that are known, that are kind of categorized and classified. But me personally, this is just my personal opinion, I think that depression is the symptom of a greater problem. People say, well, my problem is depression. I think that depression is the byproduct. I think it's the symptom of a greater problem. Does that make sense? Well, you can agree or disagree. And, of course, I didn't come here to talk about that. Let me just move ahead here. It's 10:30. I've got about maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes to wrap this up, and then we'll begin our main service. We're honored today to have Brother Arcovio. He's going to be ministering in our main service, and we are looking forward to that. Praise God. But we read here, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So if his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways, then what is he thinking? And what is he like? Can we identify the thoughts, the ways of God? I think we can through Jesus Christ, who is the manifestation of God. God manifests himself in flesh, through flesh. So we can identify what God thinks, what God is like, through the life of Jesus Christ. And that's one reason why we need to learn of him. Because in learning of him, we also learn his ways, what he's like, how he handles his business, how he takes care of things, and how he treats others. So ask yourself the question before we move forward. Am I treating others the way God would have me treat them? Just ask yourself the question. Am I treating others the way God would have me treat them? Am I treating my children the way God would have me treat them? Am I treating my spouse? Am I treating my employees or my employer? Am I treating my neighbor the way God expects me to treat them? Now, you don't have to confess anything, but just think about that. I want you to just think about it a little bit. Now, I'm not going to put you guys on the spot, but is she treating you right? Are you treating her right? There's only a few people I can pick on and get away with it. So you've been chosen. You've been selected. So praise the Lord. I've noticed that through life, or just through the human life, we have our particular concepts and perceptions. And what I've noticed is that when we judge or interpret things, we come to these conclusions that most of the time they're skewed. There's pieces missing. There's misunderstanding, there's misconception, and because of that, we don't handle things and people right. Because our judgment and our perception, what we forget is even our moral understanding and human reasoning is darkened in our natural state. But thank God we have the light that could bring illumination and bring truth and bring understanding. Amen. And I think it's very, 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 very important that we understand that we must absolutely seek to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I think this actually postures us to see and understand what the will of God is, and also the ways of God. When we are transformed by the renewing, not just a one-time fix, not just once in a while, but a constant renewing or renovation of the mind. Because Romans 8 tells us to be carnally minded is what? Is death. And yes, it is possible to be a born-again believer, to be a child of God in the kingdom, but yet live and yield to and submit to carnal thinking. So we have to choose. We have to make a choice every day. And that's why it's very important. We must stay in the Word of God. Let's find out. Listen, don't base your Christianity on what you feel and what you think. But look to the Word of God and let the Word of God tell you and teach you what you should think and what you should do and how you should live and how you should respond and how you should treat other people. Because if you behave and act and respond based on your human reasoning and your natural emotions, then you're going to have a lot of unhealthy relationships. You're going to have a lot of imbalances. Does that make sense? All right. Let me move forward here. Imbalance is a state or condition in which different things do not occur in equal or proper amounts. It's a lack of proportion or relation between corresponding things. It is a lack of proper coordination. It's just out of balance. And synonymous terms is there's a lack of harmony. There's a lack of instability, or there is instability rather. And we don't need that among ourselves. I personally feel that, and of course this is a no-brainer, that relational imbalances oppose and hinder unity. And how many knows how important unity is? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. And if dwelling together in unity is pleasant, then what is disunity? It ain't pleasant. It's not pleasing to God, because this is God's church. Amen. And he wants there to be unity among his people. Amen. Balance in the body. So relational imbalances oppose unity. And this, of course, hinders life. It hinders spiritual progress. I am convinced that these imbalances can leave one sterile and infertile. You ask yourself, well, why isn't this person or even a congregation, why aren't they fruitful? Why aren't they productive? Well, if you take a closer look at some of the relationships, you'll find out why there's infertility, why they're sterile. You know, it's probably because of imbalances in the body. How many knows that to be true? That imbalances affect your productivity. Amen. They hinder you from being fruitful. Here are some signs of relational imbalances, and probably no one in here can relate to any of these things, but let me just share them with you. I wish I would have sent this to our tech and put them on the screen, just in case one or two of them kind of stand out. Let me just read a few. I'll just read a few. I'm not going to read them all. Here are some signs of relational imbalances. Hostile withholding of communication and affection. How many spouses can relate to that? There's the withholding of communication and affection. They made me mad. Therefore, I'm going to hold that against him for 3 or 4 days. I know ladies aren't like that, just men, right? Or is it the opposite? Argumentativeness, resistance to considering another's point of view, devaluing or trivializing someone's feelings or perceptions. What about this? Unnecessary humor which comes at another's expense. What about this one? Always being the accuser and always blaming someone else. Being the judger and the criticizer. Making choices or interacting with others in ways that undermine. Any of these kind of ring a bell? Not yet? Okay, we'll continue. Name calling, labeling, being the one who's always ordering and making demands. Aggressive, intimidating anger. How about this? Harboring resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, partiality, bias, prejudice. These things are signs of relational imbalances. Now, out of this list, I don't think I read all, but out of this list, how many can relate to at least one or two? Just raise your little finger. You don't have to say, No, just raise your little finger so nobody can see. It's just yeah. All right. I think I've been guilty of all of these at one time or another, but the Lord's been working on me. Praise God. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, because they're very selfish, they're self-absorbed, they're self-focused, and as I've mentioned earlier, their moral understanding and reasoning is darkened, it's impaired. And so they don't have the ability to judge and discern properly. So he is telling this not to the world, he is telling this to the church. That we, as the body of Christ, should not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So we have to choose that we're going to live a life, a transformed life, as a result of mind renovation. Amen. It's got to take place within us if we're going to truly live a changed life. Amen. God wants the body of Christ to work together as a synergy, corporately, in response to his command, his direction, his guidance, his counsel. And I want to say it again, there's no problem with the head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. Are we in agreement there? There's no problem with the head, that is Jesus Christ. He does all things right. He does all things well. Amen. Praise God. Let me move down to Philippians chapter number 4, verses number 6 through 9. Read a few verses. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth under all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think that we can apply this to our everyday life, which includes our relationships. Our relationships, because that's what we're talking about here. Life is really about relationships. Amen. Being in the body of Christ is about relationship. Why do you think God came to this earth in human flesh? To reconcile relationship. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And guess what? He has given us the word and the ministry of reconciliation. And if God is interested in reconciling the world unto himself, we should be interested in reconciling broken relationships, especially among ourselves. Because if we're going to endeavor to bring balance, you know, in the world, in the community, then we have to learn how to bring balance into our own lives as the body of Christ. Does that make sense? And of course, we don't have to go to, you know, to doctor and get medication for spiritual or relational imbalances. No, we don't have to have foreign substances or things that have been, you know, produced in a lab to fix our relationships. No. The head will provide everything that we need. The head will provide everything that we need if we will take it and apply it and do what he is speaking and communicating and commanding us to do. And it seems so easy. Okay, here's the formula. Here's the instruction. Here's the recipe. Here's the prescription. Just take it. Just apply it. Just do this. But we have such a hard time with that, don't we? We have such a hard time with that. But let's continue. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, things are honest, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things, he concludes by saying, those things which you have learned and received. Everybody say learned and received. So can you honestly say that I've learned some things, I've received some things? Well, if you've learned some things and you've received and you've heard and you've seen, this is what he says, do. Everybody say do it. What you've learned and received and heard and seen, do. If we could just do. Just do. And the result is, and the God of peace shall be with you. Praise God. Jesus said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of what? Me. Learn of me. We mentioned it earlier. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And listen, if there is imbalances in your relationships with other members of the body of Christ, you are going to hinder the work of the Spirit in your life. You're going to hinder, you're going to oppose the peace of God from working in your life. And you're not going to have that spiritual rest that you need. You're not going to abide in the tranquility and the peace of God. You're not, no. You're going to interrupt that. You're going to hinder that. So therefore, we've got to discover what's the problem. What's caused the problem? Why are they mad? You know? Or why am I feeling this way? Let me move through. I've got a lot of information I'm just having to skip through. But I am convinced that through a properly yoked relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ consistently, that we can better learn of Him and His ways. And I'm referring to His ways in treating others, handling situations, handling people, and in learning how to reconcile relationships and restore balance within the members of the body of Christ. Here we go. Matthew chapter number 5. I've had to skip a lot because I'm out of time. Matthew chapter 5 verses 22 through 24. Now listen, before I read these verses, this is just one side of the coin. This is just one side of the coin. And before I read it, a lot of times where we make a mistake is we try to apply the same method to all the different situations. And that's not the way we need to do things. It's not, you know, one for all, one way, you know, takes care of all the situations and the discrepancies and the imbalances. You know, if you have a chemical imbalance and you introduce the wrong chemical, you're going to destroy them. They're going to be all whacked out, if I could use that term. But this is one side of the coin. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka or Raka, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, everybody say, therefore. Okay. So study that even more. And if you read the preceding verses, you'll understand what therefore is therefore. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there, when you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught or something against you or a grievance against you, what do? We want to shout the victory. We want to just, this is what we tend to do. This is kind of the easy escape, at least we think. But if we don't do it God's way, then we're in violation of His word and His way. But if we come to the altar, how many has ever come to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you? And listen, the ought that it's speaking of here, this grievance, is not necessarily an offense. We try to say, oh, it's just an offense. But no, it doesn't necessarily mean an offense, because your brother can have an ought against you, a grievance against you, and it not be an offense. So I just wanted to introduce that to you at this time. But this is what he says. When you come, you're there to bring your gift, and you remember that your brother has an ought against you, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. He didn't say stay and pray and shout and think about it, but he says leave and go thy way and first be reconciled to thy brother. Everybody say reconciliation. Because if you do that, you're going to take care of the imbalance. You're going to bring balance back to the relationship. Be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Notice God. Notice who God tells to do this. He gives the responsibility to the one that is there. He's there just, you know, in the presence of the Lord, just giving his gift, his offering, whatever. But the Lord said that's not acceptable. Leave your gift. Nothing wrong with your gift. I got a problem with you. And if we can read this scripture, hopefully we can determine God's goal. Can you read these few verses and determine what God's goal is? What is God's goal? I'm going to ask you. What is God's goal? What is the objective here? Just by reading these few verses, what is God's goal? Reconciliation. That's it. And sometimes that's not our goal. Because the one that has aught against us, we may not like. And so in our mind, that's not our goal. That's God's goal. But where you and I are going to be blessed is when God's goal becomes our goal. And God's way becomes our way. Does that make sense? So God's goal, God's desire is reconciliation. Because he wants to deal with the imbalances and bring about unity and cooperation in the body of Christ. Praise God. And this, listen, and I made a note here, I guess it was this morning, that how we reconcile or the method of reconciliation depends on what the grievance is. Now, how many remembers maybe if you have siblings, maybe as a child, when you done something wrong, you stole your your brother's lunch money, or you took the last little Debbie, and it just really upset them. Or you done something, and they had aught against you, you know, whether it's an offense or whatever, and mama found out about it or daddy found out about it, and they said, go apologize, or you go give that back to them. How many remembers that? You go, that belongs to them. That's their game. I bought it for them, et cetera, et cetera. And what do? You just, you run over there to a fine. Here. And then mama says, don't you, you better cut that attitude out. My alarm's going off. I got to pick up my buddy for church. But they get on to you, not because you went and gave it back, but because of your attitude. So we also have to be careful how we present ourselves before our brother. Well, if I've done anything wrong, and you know they have an ought against you. That's if you know. Sometimes people have ought against you, you don't even know about it. So they have a responsibility too. But we'll deal with that side of the coin later. We don't have time for that. So there's always two sides to the coin. So let's move on here. We always, 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 when we're engaged in reconciling and restoring balance to our relationship with our brother or our sister in Christ, we always have to do it in the spirit of humility. We always have to do it in the spirit of humility, preferring your brother. Preferring your brother. Amen. God is love, and he wants his children, his offspring, his sons, to be like him and to love one another. The Bible says, let us love one another. Amen. And he commands us to love one another. So when love is the motivation and love is the goal, then we will do whatever God asks. We will do whatever God asks in order to develop or maintain or restore a severed relationship. when love is the motivation and love is the goal. And let me close with these thoughts. You should not, I should not, we should not want the imbalance to remain in our relationship. We should not want our brother to become resentful and bitter or lost. And we should want to be in right standing with God and in right standing with our brother. Am I making any kind of sense here? God is more concerned about reconciling relationships and restoring, amen, things that are out of balance. God is so concerned with that in the body of Christ. Let's all stand this morning. Praise God. Praise God. And you know, our carnal attitude is, well, if they're offended, they're just offended. If they're hurt, they're just hurt. You know, they just need to grow up and get over it. Do you understand what you're saying? Do you realize that you could be against what God is for? And he says, if you're not with me, you are against me. So we could be shouting and doing the, you know, spiritual, you know, like Brother Arnold would say, jump rope. What does they say, jumping jacks for Jesus? You know, we could be doing all that time and you know, all that and having a good time and paying our tithes. But yet, this one thing. And listen, the justness of God demands that we do things according to his word and his way. Not just, okay, I'm going to give them here, like I did earlier. Can I have my mint back? You know, when mama turns her head, daddy turns her head, I'm going to get my mint back. I'm going to get my mint back. Give me my mint. Oh, she ate my mint. Now I have aught against her. But God wants to restore imbalances. He wants to restore right relationship among the body of Christ. And I know I've only had a little bit of time, but hopefully I've raised some awareness. I don't want my brother to be lost. I don't want my brother or my sister to be resentful. I don't want them to harbor bitterness. Amen. It can destroy them. And I don't want them to be destroyed. I don't want them to be lost. I want to treat them the way God expects me to treat them. Hallelujah. I believe that we need to seek to reconcile and restore. Oh, hallelujah. And do what is right in the eyes of God. Because rest assured, we will not get away with it. We will not get away with it. Let's raise our hands to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your long-suffering. Thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity, oh, Lord, to make things right. Hallelujah, with our brother, with our sister. And, oh, Lord, we take this word to heart. We want to do according to your will, your way, with the right attitude, with the right spirit. We want to restore. We want to reconcile. Hallelujah. We want there to be peace and harmony and unity and synergy in the body of Christ. And we ask you to help us. Oh God, as you have instructed us to do. Oh Lord, that you are glorified. And that the world around us will know that we are your disciples. That we follow you because we have love one for another. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. You can take a few minutes.